What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. Middle of the week as we turn the corner toward UFC Fight Night in San Antonio. Chito and the Sandman, Holly Holm and Yana Kunitskaya Santos. And of course, Macy Barber looking for a big one against Andrea Lee. Landwehr and Lingo. Perez versus Kopp on the prelims headlining. It's a good fight night in San Antonio as the UFC keeps on moving out on the road, getting back to business as usual. Before the pandemic, Dana White saying very recently they've become too comfortable at the apex and they need to get out on the road. Well, maybe we all became too comfortable without Colby Covington around, because chaos is back, baby. He made weight as the alternate, as the fill-in, as the guy who would step in for Kamaru Usman or Leon Edwards in their trilogy fight last Saturday at UFC 286. Unusually silent. Nobody knew he was there until after he weighed in. And if you know anything at all about Colby Covington, you know that that dude is never silent. So when he's there, everybody knows about it. Well, he was silent and about his business until after the fight, when he has just gone scorched earth, and I can't even tell you everything he's been saying, but he went nuts on John Anik, UFC announcer. If you remember, Bilal Muhammad had said that Colby's white on social media in response to a social media post from Aaron Bronstetter, a journalist from Canada, that said there's really no storyline, and this is what Leon Edwards had said, that there's no storyline for a fight against Colby Covington, and then Bilal Muhammad had responded with just two words, he's white. Well, before that, they had gone back and forth. Colby Covington can make weight for this fight, but he can't fight me. He'll go all the way across the world and make weight for a fight that he's not going to fight in, but he won't fight me. So there's a lot of that from Edwards. There's a lot of that from Muhammad. Well, John Anik, whose brother does a podcast with Muhammad, yeah, it keeps on going, defended Bilal Muhammad, just said, hey, the guy's won X number of fights in a row, hasn't lost in so long, all these blah, 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 number four in the division. And then Colby came out and went scorched earth on John Anik, basically saying he lives in Miami and Anik lives in Boca and they could do this. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to leave his kids without a father. He said that on the MMA Hour. Meanwhile, Muhammad thinks he's the most deserving welterweight for the next title shot. Wasn't just sitting and waiting like Covington was. He said he talked with the UFC several times months ago trying to book a fight against Colby that would solidify his position as the number one contender while also allowing him to stay active rather than just hanging out on the sidelines. According to Bilal, used to be the bully, now he's remember the name, the UFC made several attempts to book him against Covington, including the possibility of those two coaching against each other on The Ultimate Fighter Season 31, which now, of course, is Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler. More on that in a couple of minutes, but each and every time he received the same response back. Quote, he said no, Muhammad told MMA Fighting. The coward cowered it out. That's what he does. He says no to fights. And then he vowed to slap Colby Covington for what he said about John Anik. And, of course, he just wants the fight. He wants the title fight against Leon Edwards. And he's a little upset that Colby Covington has it. Leon Edwards doesn't necessarily want to fight Colby Covington either. More on that in a minute. But Colby Covington, one of the things he said, I mean, he accused John Jones of paying Cyril Gane. He accused Khabib of ducking him, and that's why he didn't go to 170. I mean, he's back to being full Colby mode, full chaos right now. But he does have some advice for Leon Edwards, who now has the belt. Don't turn down a fight with me, says Colby Covington. This is the only piece of advice I'm ever going to give you, because next you're going to get your ass whooped. This is Covington telling MMA Fighting. There's a saying, Leon, and shut your fumbling mouth and listen. Open your stupid ears and listen to the advice that I give, because it's the only advice I'm going to give you, Leon. You don't cross your boss and you will learn the hard way. Remember that, Leon. That's the only advice I'm going to give you. You don't cross your boss. A lot of people critical of Dana White's decision to name Covington in the next challenger. Masvidal fighting Burns in the next main event in Miami has a three-piece in the soda history with Leon. Leon would like that fight first and foremost because it's easier for him. Don't tell him or George I said that, but it's true. At this point, it's the easier title defense, and he loves the heat that comes along with it. Masvidal's a big draw. And then beyond that, you know, you're looking at some others in the division like Bilal Muhammad, who people think are more deserving. So, with that being said, Covington reminding Leon Edwards not to back out of the fight and fight someone else. I love it when Colby's being Colby and when Conor's being Conor, and they're both doing it right now. More on Conor in a minute. Couple more updates in the wake of the main event at UFC 286 in London. Leon Edwards has barely had time to celebrate his second win over Kamaru Usman before being told his title defense will be against Colby Covington. The two-time title challenger was the backup And UFC President Dana White, I just told you, says Colby is next. Edwards has gone as far as saying he won't accept the Covington fight if it's officially offered to him. But UFC veteran Matt Brown, who's been around forever, believes that would be a mistake, saying, quote, I heard Leon basically say he's going to not accept it or to not try to fight it. But I think for Leon, Colby is probably one of the best fights for him out there. That's on the fighter versus the writer. I think Bilal Muhammad, I think Shavkat Rakhmonov, a lot of these other guys are tougher matchups for him. For Leon, in my opinion, it's a little bit of a blessing. Colby hasn't fought in a while. He's more of a wrestler. He's very similar to Kamaru Usman, and you could say not as good because Usman beat him twice. Different type of fighter, though, different matchup. Covington against Edwards, but I know what Matt Brown's saying. And Daniel Cormier, who's become maybe the voice of our sport, one of them for sure, he says Bilal Muhammad, who's pissed about Covington, should get a high-profile win if he really wants a title fight, and that's how I see it. I agree 100% with DC. I don't always, but I do right now. And he needs another high-profile win. Suggests Kamaru Usman coming off the loss, and that would be a hell of a fight. Usman versus Bilal Muhammad. Usman trying to get back into championship form, and Bilal Muhammad trying to get there for the first time with a title shot. Meanwhile, Francis Ngannou, Kamaru's friend, says Kamaru Usman wasn't the same for his trilogy fight against Leon Edwards because of injury, telling his YouTube audience, quote, I know that he didn't train. He didn't have time to train properly because of a lot of injury, but he was there. He was there. It's a victory, an unfortunate victory, but I think now he's mentally healthy than what he was before. Yeah, let's see what's next. I believe he's going to get it back. I believe it. He concluded, Francis Ngannou talking about his friend Kamaru Usman, who's got to be just devastated right now after failing to win back the belt that he lost last summer in Salt Lake City to Leon Edwards. The trilogy is over. Usman's 1-2, and both title fights won by Leon Edwards. Keeping it moving on Full Press MMA, Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _. At Cageside Grease on social media. Here with all the news, the notes, the hot topics, and the hot takes you need to be the smartest MMA fan in any room. So you know when you're talking about the sport we all know and love the most, you will be ready to get your hand raised in victory. And if that room is a sports book, all the better for you, because we also have the fight stack right here on Full Press MMA, right here on this podcast channel where you're hearing me right now, right wherever you get your podcasts. It's the fight stack with me, Jim Grease, and we preview and give you an odds breakdown for every main card fight on every UFC fight card with the fight stack right here on Full Press MMA. Continuing along with your headlines on your Wednesday post-UFC 286 fallout, maybe the most impressive performance of the night. Hard to say that, though, with what Leon Edwards did, but Justin Gaethje with a masterpiece to turn back the bid of Rafael Fiziev, number 6 at lightweight, to enter the top 5. Well, Gaethje stayed at number 3, did not move up because of his win. Why? Standing in front of him, former foe and number 2 ranked former interim champion, just like Gaethje, Dustin Poirier. They could be on a collision course with one another. The former interim champs fought in April of 2018. It was a war, and Poirier managed to survive in a fight of the year candidate. And every Justin Gaethje fight is a fight of the year candidate. Poirier's in an unusual spot at the top of the lightweight division. He's lost 2 title fights at 155 to Khabib and Charles Oliveira. But despite those setbacks, he's still one of the top fighters in the world, a massive name in the UFC. Gaethje is the same, number 2 and number 3. Gaethje would love to fight Charles Oliveira if he loses to Beneil Dariush, but otherwise he called out Poirier, and Poirier responded, talking to Fanside at MMA, saying, it's a fight that makes me nervous. When I hear a name and I get nervous, it's motivation. Those are the kind of fights that I want. Same thing with Chandler. When I heard Chandler's name, I was nervous because I knew the dangers of those kinds of fights, and that's what motivates me. Same thing with Justin. If they do call me and he's the name that they say, maybe it happens. We'll see. Poirier, the 4th round TKO in April of 2018. 2 fights later, he won the interim lightweight title against Max Holloway, lost it to Khabib, just like Justin Gaethje did. Poirier and Gaethje could be a great co-main event for the McGregor-Chandler fight card. Maybe that's at Cowboy Stadium in Texas. Who knows where that's going to be, but that'd be awesome to see if Gaethje and Poirier could be a co-main event for that one, and then maybe the winner gets a title shot. We'll see, but Gaethje and Poirier in the works, possibly in the near future. Also, post UFC 286, you're going to be looking for another opponent for Gunny Nelson, who just keeps running through dudes. He's getting into that point where he's going to be looking for top 10 matchups again. Jennifer Maia looking like she might be ready to take on a really good top 5 contender. They're loaded, looking and nipping at Alexa Grasso's heels, and more on that in a minute with Macy Barber fighting this weekend. But Grasso upsets Valentina Shevchenko. You got Blanchfield up there. You got Santos up there. Fiorro's ahead of both of them. And then you got a bunch of others. Now Jennifer Maia with an impressive win over Casey O'Neill, kind of proving that she belongs up there near the top at 125 as well. And then you got Andrea Lee and Macy Barber this weekend. We'll see what happens there. So that's going to be a lot of fun to kind of figure out that division also. And then Marvin Vettori moved up to number 3 at 185. Costa stayed at number 5. And Jared Cannonier moves down to number 4. So Marvin Vettori is number 3 at 185. You got Pajeda, the champ. You got Israel Adesanya. You got Robert Whittaker. Whittaker was supposed to fight Costa. It didn't happen. He doesn't have a fight, but he just had an easy win over Vettori. That's not going to happen again. So a little, and he also has an easier win over Jared Cannonier. So that's not going to happen at the top of 185 anytime soon. So I'd think that Whittaker will be sitting out and waiting for that winner of Adesanya and Pajeda to see who he fights next. Moving right along on your Wednesday edition of Full Press MMA, I'm Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Greece underscore, at Cageside Greece on social media. The shows are doing great. The audience is building. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the engagement on social media. Appreciate you listening to the Fight Stacks with the previews and the odds breakdowns of every main card fight on every UFC fight card right here where you get Full Press MMA, which is, of course, the news, the notes, the hot topics, and the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room when we're talking about the UFC, mixed martial arts, and combat sports. And we've got a big one this weekend in San Antonio, UFC Fight Night. Chito Vera and Corey Sanhagen, number 3 and number 5 at bantamweight. Sanhagen, a pretty big favorite over Chito, who doesn't get a lot of respect, and he wants to get some more respect. Holly Holm and Yana Kunitskaya, who's now Yana Santos, number 3 and number 6 at women's bantamweight. The former champ, the preacher's daughter, Holly Holm, just signed a new contract. More on that in a minute. Nate Landwehr, number 15 at featherweight, taking on Austin Lingo. Landwehr, the big favorite there. Number 11, Andrea Lee. Number 13, Macy Barber. And Macy, a huge favorite over Lee at flyweight in the women's division. How about the men's side at flyweight? Alex Perez, Manel Kopp, number 6 and number 9. Kopp, the favorite. Perez, the dog in that one. Chidi Jinokuwani and Albert Duraev as well. And Jinokuwani is the favorite at minus 155 there. And for Corey Sanhagen in the main event against Chito Vera, he might be the lower-ranked fighter, but he's the favorite in this fight. He's come oh so close to having UFC gold wrapped around his waist in the past. He doesn't talk trash. He isn't super active on social media. Not one for call-outs, but Sanhagen, 15-4, 8-3 in the UFC, doesn't really think all that stuff is super important. He wants to be known for his fighting style. Says, I don't really dig a lot of the attention, maybe like other people do, which is fine. He talked about it at the pre-fight news conference today. I express myself a lot in the cage. I like expressing that piece of me. I like looking back and watching the Yan fight and the Song fight before the fifth round and knowing that's in my heart. That's one of the most fun things for me in the sport, just being able to express that piece of me because I don't really do it in everyday life. And that is where he let himself come out of his shell a little bit. He's got Chito Vera, 27-1 and 14-6 in the UFC at the AT&T Center. Could be the perfect fight for Sanhagen to showcase those skills and build his brand without opening his mouth. He's eager for that opportunity, saying, quote, I learned that you only get to fight these dudes once. Like 9 times out of 10, you only get to prove you're better than these guys just once. That wakes me up now. That wakes me up. I don't care about anything other than beating Chito on Saturday night. It's because the likelihood of me being able to prove I'm better than this dude is only on one night. I'm going to go out. I'm going to fight my ass off, do whatever that I can to win the hell I want. I'll do whatever the hell I want. I don't anticipate that happening. I'm going to have to make adjustments. If the dog has to come out of me to win a fight, then the dog will come out too. I'm ready to do whatever I've got to do to win because I know this is my only one crack at beating this guy. So there's the approach of Corey Sanhagen. And remember, with Merab Dvalishvili and Sean O'Malley waiting in the wings for the Aljamain Sterling and Henry Cejudo winner, you still have Piotr Jan in there. The winner and loser of this fight, it's going to be on in that division. There's going to be some great fights for either guy. But, of course, Chito Vera is a guy who's going to headline fight night. He ended Dominic Cruz, knocked him out in the fourth round last time out. Listen, it's a very complicated division at bantamweight. He's got a lot of power. He's a strong dude. He says, F the rest. I need to go win this fight. He could be frustrated that he hasn't gotten a title shot yet, but it's a loaded division. He says, F the rest. I need to go win this fight. Then we'll figure the rest out. I have nothing planned or scheduled until then. Not a drink, a dinner, or a party. I've got a fight. That's all I'm thinking about. A four-fight win streak for Vera, and all he's thinking about is Sanhagen. All Sanhagen's thinking about is Chito. That's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday in San Antonio. Also in San Antonio in the co-main event, the former champion, the ageless wonder, 41-year-old Boxing Hall of Famer Holly Holm has signed a new six-fight deal with UFC. Her manager, Lenny Fresquez, has told the Albuquerque Journal in Holm's hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. She's 41. She's going to face Yana Santos, formerly Yana Kunitskaya, UFC fight night Saturday in San Antonio. She's 14-6. Seems like Holly would have a lot more fights than that. She's been around a long time, but she's fought everybody who's anybody on the women's side. Santos, also 14-6, is ranked number 6. Holly's ranked number 3. Fresquez saying, quote, UFC knew Holly had lots of options out there. She was very sought after and probably could have earned more money elsewhere. They love Holly. They know she's one of the faces of the UFC, and they wanted her to stay. Holly coming off a controversial split decision loss to Ketlin Vieira in May, but she was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, had talked about maybe going back to boxing. She's only fought once since 2021 due to injuries, but in spite of the inactivity, still number 3 in the division. 4 of her 6 losses in UFC have come in title fights. Holm and Santos this weekend in San Antonio. And Macy Barber taking on Andrea Lee. She's number 14. Lee's number 11. Barber, a big favorite, though. The one loss that stings her to the current champion, Alexa Grasso, who shocked the world and beat Valentina to win the belt recently. Well, Grasso won a competitive unanimous decision against Barber in 2021 at UFC 258, or she never would have gotten there. I do want that fight back with Alexa, said Barber, but like I said, it's whether she's the champ or not. If she has the belt when it comes time, then I want her. If Valentina is back to being the champ, then I want her. But at the end of the day, I still have my journey to the top, and right now I think I'm currently number 13. She's actually 14. So I've got to work my way up again, and she again mentioned that she wants to run that fight back against Alexa Grasso, the champion in a loaded women's flyweight division. Can't wait for the bantamweights to show their stuff this weekend. On the men's side, Chito and Sanhagen. And then on the women's side, Holm and Yana Santos. And then the flyweights. On the women's side, Andrea Lee and Macy Barber. Manel Kopp and Alex Perez. The men's flyweights, that's going to be awesome as well. UFC Fight Night San Antonio this weekend. Wrapping it up on Full Press MMA on your Wednesday, I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media, where Conor McGregor may have slipped just a little bit, okay, a lot, and leaked which team wins the upcoming season of The Ultimate Fighter on Twitter. No one tweets and deletes more than The Notorious, so watching his account for something that might slip out and then get taken right down is something that a few people who call themselves journalists and men, in some cases, sit there and spend all day watching. No judgment, yes judgment. Anyway, on Tuesday night, McGregor trashed some of the top coaches in the sport and since deleted tweets and may have revealed more than he wanted to. He talked about Fariz Zahabi is a little douchebag. Trevor Whitman is a pad man. Javier Mendez is a fat lick-arse kickboxer. Mike Brown is a smelly prick. Greg Jackson got caught up. The system of Coach Kavanaugh is now shining through. In years to come, the world will know what we have been at. It's beginning to bear fruit. If you want to train, train at SBG Ireland with Cav and me. We are a fight factory akin to butter churning, McGregor wrote on Twitter. Manager Ali Abdelaziz, not McGregor's manager, saw the tweet and defended the coaches McGregor insulted. Hey, please, this sounds like you taking fentanyl. You out of your mind. Fariz, Trevor, Javier, Greg Jackson, and Mike Brown, you and your coach cannot even shine their shoes. Your team alongside 20 UFC fighters got cut from the UFC because you all suck. WTF you talking about? McGregor quickly filed back and may have revealed a little too much. Hey, shit stain on the game. I'm talking as of now, it is beginning to bear fruit. We beat their system of fighting on tough. It's locked down. It's no wonder shit pants scurried. There's no competing now. The head of the style is too fat a bitch and afraid to compete again. So we win. You can't compete with us. Watch and witness, you rat bastard. Abdelaziz responding to McGregor, reminding him that Khabib tapped him out. Nurmagomedov tapped him out at UFC 229 in October 2018, saying, quote, the head of my style, you mean Khabib? Every time you look at yourself in a mirror, you see him. One of the biggest embarrassing moments in sports history. He showed you are trash and your team is trash, and he showed doesn't matter what you do, you always gonna be trash. McGregor coached the upcoming season of Tough opposite Michael Chandler. The show airs on ESPN. The debut episode is May 30th. and that is coming a couple of months away. But Conor McGregor may have leaked some spoilers. Rafael Cordero, one of the coaches that McGregor mentioned, also a coach of champions over there at Kings MMA in Huntington Beach, says, quote, as part of the game, we know Conor sells, he books his own fights, and all he needs is one win. Getting this win over Chandler will lead to something else. Maybe it's against Benny, maybe it's Charles. He will have to fight someone that takes him toward a title shot, and he's got to use his mouth to get there, is basically what Cordero said, just saying kind of it's part of the game. Meanwhile, a surging UFC lightweight has thrown his name in the hat. A perennial lightweight entertainer is what it says here, is willing to save the day if McGregor and Chandler cannot make that walk to the octagon. And that fighter is Drew Dober. He's number 14 at lightweight. He loves to throw down and throw hands. He won't really try to wrestle much. And he said, you know, it's nuts. The fight has just Showtime written all over it. Man, as soon as they announce the date, that's the fight I'm going to be training for, because I'd love to be the backup for that fight. If not, I'll just be present for it. And the new Ultimate Fighter, these coaches, it's streamlined to be a very entertaining fight. Everyone wants the red panty night. And finally, a local Las Vegas MMA fighter is continuing to fight for her life as she battles a deadly disease. Ashley Mobwife Gambino has already lost a child, and she's had some family heartbreak as well. She's got a husband who's also an MMA fighter and takes care of her and their two children. Ashley Mobwife Gambino rose to fame on social media. She was the girl who would spar with people on Fremont Street. That led to an amateur fight career in the local Tough Enough promotion in Vegas. Her husband, Travis Long, also a fighter, says Gambino has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of pulmonary hypertension. If you would like to help with their situation, you can go to GoFundMe.com/F/raising money. For Katana's funeral and family. Raising money for Katana, K-A-T-A-N-A, Katana's funeral and family. They've hit $11,307 of their $20,000 goal with 231 donations. In November, their three-year-old unexpectedly died of acute leukemia. And now this, it's terrible. So Travis Long and Ashley Mobwife Gambino need the help of the MMA community if you can give it. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more. Full Press MMA on your Wednesday, March 22nd. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _ at Cageside Grease on social media. Here we'll have the news, the notes, the hot topics, and the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in any room when you're talking about mixed martial arts, the sport we know and love. And if that room happens to be a sports book, we got you covered there too, right here on Full Press MMA, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're hearing me right now. We have the fight stack. What is it, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Here's the answer. It's a breakdown and an odds preview of every main card fight on every UFC fight card. This week, it's UFC Fight Night San Antonio, Chito, and the Sandman at Bantamweight on the fight stack, and every day with Full Press MMA. Keep your game tight and your mind right, fight fans. Thank you so much. I'm out.